it was all on my own. And that's when I actually realized that, like, oh my God, like, I'm here on my own. So luckily at my college, they offered free therapy sessions, right? So I went to therapy, and that's when I knew, I was like, crap, like, I have emotions that I don't know how to deal with, and I don't know anything about myself or what makes me happy.
Welcome to the Speak Your Success Podcast.
Welcome, successors, to the Speak Your Success Podcast. I'm your host, TEDx speaker and bestselling author Jonathan Jones. And today we have a special guest in the studio, which is currently outside because the weather is good and it's balmy for the skin. We're going to get to our special guest in just one moment. But before we do that, we're going to start off just as we always do by just showing our love and just showing our support to one faithful and loyal listener. And this week, the review of the week goes to #635. And #635 went on to say, great podcast. Enjoyed every episode so far. #635, we appreciate that love. I'm not sure if you listened to all the episodes, but if you did, man, that's some next level love right there. That's some next level love right there. But anyway, if you would like to be the review of the week, I'd encourage you to type in Speak Your Success on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. And then scroll down to the bottom, click write a review. We hope it'd be 5 stars, but then just leave us some feedback, leave us some love, and you have a chance to be the review of the week. All right. So now, without further ado, gonna go ahead and welcome in Miss Becky from the Unspoken Words podcast.
Yes.
Becky, what's going on?
Nothing. So I am. I'm Becky the poet, and I'm a host. I'm your host for Unspoken Words podcast.
Yeah.
I do a little bit of everything. I'm a multi-talented little Asian girl.
That's so funny. I remember the first time I met you, I think it was at, what was it? Was it called Wolf Nation then? But they had like a showcase or a podcast.
The Moto podcast, their event.
Yeah.
I followed you on social media beforehand. Did you already start? No, you were looking to start into your podcast. But I had followed you somewhere, and
Me and you were DMing back and forth. Yeah. I remember we were DMing back and forth.
What were you talking about?
I have no idea, but we met at an event before that, I think.
Wasn't Cosign, was it? No, because Cosign didn't happen until afterwards.
I don't know.
Was it DNA? Did you Dreams and Ambition, something like that?
Oh, nope.
Nope. Okay, never mind.
Okay, nope, cool. So Becky, so you're the host. So you had an event not too long ago, right?
Yeah, the February 1st, actually.
Yeah, I saw the Instagram videos, and I saw you had it packed out in that thing.
Yeah, I guess I needed a bigger venue, and that's like not a bad problem at all.
Yeah, that's a good problem to
but,
have.
But I was stressed for a month and a half about people coming to my event, and that's one thing because I guess I had to learn that like people in general, like, we're all late. So we don't buy tickets to events till last minute unless it's like the Millennia Tour, because I know everybody already bought it.
You bought your ticket?
No, I am not going.
You're not going?
I'll just lift the people's Instagram stories.
That's fair. I just watch Instagram live, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but man, Becky, but like, what's your story? Because I've rocked with your podcast since you started. Been rocking with your podcast. I told you I appreciate the dynamic of how you bring the poetry into the podcast, and you go in and you like bare your soul through your poems. But I mean, like, where did you first get involved, or where did you first get started with poetry?
So I'm from Oklahoma City, and I always tell people, like, I come from like a strict household at the time. So like, I always tell people, like, I wasn't allowed to feel sad. I wasn't allowed to be angry, and if I was, it better be a good reason. So like, let's say I was sad about like so-and-so didn't want to be my friend anymore, you know, and it was like, my parents were like, well, that's dumb. You know, you got a house, you got food, you don't need no friends. And so I was like, man, I can't talk to them about anything. And then it kind of led to one thing after another. And one of my parents had got remarried. And then that was like where arguments had started between me and that parent. And I was like, oh, I can't talk to them. They're yelling at me. I'm yelling at them back. So we're not understanding each other. So I just started writing some emotions. And I always tell people I want to be a rapper this time.
And what time was this? This was like high school,
middle school?
Oh, okay.
So like I started writing some things, and it was like depressing things, and then it got to the point where my friends at that time were like, "Oh, Becky needs help." So they told the counselor, and then I don't know if in middle school here how they do it in Texas, but I didn't have like English until like 8th or 7th grade or something like that.
I think that's how it was for me too, yeah.
Right. And so I ran into like free writing, so we would have to journal in our English class for like 30 minutes. So we would journal, and then she also gave us the opportunity to read our stuff. And one day I wrote something about my mom, and I was reading it out loud to the class, and I started crying. I was like, oh God, these are real emotions. And so I was okay after that, but I just kept writing and writing because it felt good to write. And I didn't have to read anything to anybody else, but it was just knowing that like I had these emotions and I can write this down, and my pen and paper was the only people I could talk to.
I think that's super real, because like you said, you write the emotions down on the paper and then you saw it became real. Mm-hmm. And would you even go as far as say almost therapeutic?
It was very therapeutic, yes.
Yeah.
But at the time, at that age, I didn't know anything. Like, I didn't know what therapy was.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
At that age, we just know of the guidance counselor, and I don't think many people utilize the guidance counselor for what they were actually meant to be used for. Because I know when I was in middle school or elementary school, like there was the guidance counselor, and then we only knew her because she came in every so many weeks, and then we'd do like a group activity, and then she would talk about peer pressure, and then everybody would leave, she would leave, and then we'd just go back to, you know, the regular day.
Right.
So it was like, oh, okay, whatever. But I mean, so now with you writing poetry, would you say that? Do you think everybody has the ability to be a poet? Because some people might say, man, Becky, you're just writing words on paper. That's all you're doing. Like, yeah, you have feelings. I have feelings, too. Does everybody have that natural ability to be a poet?
I feel like talking to a large amount of people, they can be poets. But it's what you want to put, like, what category do you want to put yourself in? Mm. You know, I think anybody can be whatever they want to be. So if I want to be a rapper, if I really want to pursue that, I could have done it, right?
Yeah.
But, like, my realization with myself, I don't have the rappy voice. I can't rap. I can't cuss and rap at the same time. But so like, being a poet, like anybody can do it. Yes.
Okay.
But are you going to allow yourself to be labeled that? Because I just had an interview with another person, right?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't even consider himself a poet. But when I hear his stuff, I think he's a legit poet. You know,
yeah.
But he just calls himself an entrepreneur and just uses poetry as a marketing tool. You know, like he doesn't know anything about the poetry field. It's like, you know, open mics, what, you know, shows or like people making money off of poetry. Like he doesn't know anything about that. He just knows of how he uses poetry as a marketing tool.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, I think it does provide a platform, or it does provide another opportunity to connect with people using that vehicle. Because I watched that episode. And then I went on his Instagram and I saw that he did have like some spoken word pieces, and I saw that he had that really going. So I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So like we're talking about poetry and, you know, it being therapeutic. And then I was on your, I know with your podcast, I know every once in a while you talk about self-care a little bit, or you talk about like therapy.
Right.
Like, so so how old are you now, if you don't mind me asking?
25.
Okay.
I look 12.
Okay, and that, like, now, you said what?
I look 12.
Oh, goodness. Oh, so everybody, if you're not watching, if you're listening, then
I'm gel bait. I'm telling everybody.
Oh, wow.
I tell everybody that first time.
Oh,
like,
no.
Just kidding.
That's funny, but it's not.
oh, God.
So I would just, like, ask you, I'm really curious. I'm really curious just to hear, like, when did you come to the realization that your self-care was really important, or your self-care was valuable?
I think it was when, like, I think it's that high school stage of, like, you really don't have, I'm that type of person that I'm friends with everybody,
okay.
Right? But no one ever took the time to check up on me, and being the only child in my household, I had no one to talk to. Like, I couldn't talk to my parents. My friends, I kind of could have talked to, but at that age, I think some of us didn't mature with our emotions until now, you know? And so I felt like self-care was a big deal when I couldn't sleep at night, when I was up late. And people think that's like a thing, like, oh, I'm just staying late till 2 o'clock in the morning. But no, I can't sleep for a reason, you know? And then also like just certain like behaviors that I had, like I started to realize that I would get angry really fast. And I started to realize that I was an angry person outside of being like the outgoing crazy person that people know me for. And I was like, then that's when I knew self-care was a big deal, especially walking to college. I left my parents' house. I lived in the dorms. So I didn't have my parents to like hold me down or anything. Mm-hmm. It was all on my own. And so that's when I actually realized that, like, oh my God, like I'm here on my own. So luckily at my college, they offered free therapy sessions, right? So I went to therapy, and that's when I knew. I was like, crap, like I have emotions that I don't know how to deal with, and I don't know anything about myself or what makes me happy.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that's probably least utilized, because I had no idea that there were free therapy sessions until mm-hmm. I went through a psychology program for my bachelor's.
Right.
And then they required us to go to therapy just for extra credit. So right. Of course I did it. 5 sessions, cool. I did it. Boom boom. Then I went to a master's program, and then they're like, "Yeah, you know they provide free therapy." I was like, "No, they don't." They was like, "Yeah, well, it's in your tuition, so you might as well just go." And then at that time, I felt that I was okay until I started actually going to the sessions, and I felt the therapist kind of, it seemed like he was picking, but he was helping me just get under a wound that I just put a Band-Aid over.
Right.
And it was things I never dealt with, things I never talked about, things I never took the time to take a step back and really address. So now with you like addressing those things, and now with you, because I saw your Instagram story the other day, and you were talking about how you had to take some things off your plate.
Oh God!
How did you come to that realization? Like, how did you realize that you were doing too much? Because I think a lot of times that
we don't realize it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times, just as you know, millennials, as entrepreneurs, just as young professionals out here in life, we just we see social media. It's like, oh, every day I got to get it, got to grind, got to do this, and you don't factor that. How did you know that you were doing too much?
Honestly, it just takes a lot. It takes you at like the end of whatever you're about to hop off of, because I felt like I was spreading myself way too thin.
Yeah.
And I know what it feels like to, I know how I am when I'm like start spreading myself way too thin, because I start like getting like overbooked. Mm-hmm. I start like, oh crap, I have to finish, like, and always rushed.
Yeah.
And so it got to the point where like an opportunity came up for me to do something, right? But it's like I didn't have a plan for that. So my thing is, I like to plan ahead. So when I knew I didn't have a plan for it, I couldn't BS it, because I was like, because they asked me like, can you paint me a picture of what you want to do? And I was like, oh, I don't know. And I had to like deny that. I had to like decline that offer, because I felt like I was already just doing too much. Because like, it's one of those things that like, when you're recording a podcast, right? Now you have to release a certain date, right? Now if you don't pre-record, you have to like find something that day to record and edit and drop it the next day, right?
Yeah.
So same thing as in like life sometimes. If you don't pre-plan your life sometimes, and you're trying to do things on a whim, you run into the problem of doing too much, having it be like not your best work, and having to redo it. And then that's when you just feel like, oh crap, like I'm doing too much. Like, this is not how I work normally. So when I start doing the most, that's when I'm like, okay, I have to like step back and just like focus on what I have now, and then I, whatever I have to do later, like it'll come back around again. That's what I always believe. Like, I don't feel like any opportunities missed. I just feel like for right now, it wasn't the right time.
That's super real. And what you bringing in the podcast, I have to ask you. I just have to ask the question, because I'm me and I have to. So you said like there comes a point where there's too much going on, you don't have the plan, and then you talked about your podcast. Weren't you about to just shut your podcast down?
Oh yeah, definitely. And it's also because like with my podcast, I'm so raw on there. Like I speak my emotions that sometimes my family members and my friends don't even know until like I'm at that breaking point.
Yeah.
So for me to speak my emotions when I'm feeling it at that moment in time in life is different for me. So it was different, and so my mind is like, oh gosh, Becky, you're saying too much. People are like trying to figure you out, blah blah blah. So I just like freaked out, and it was like, oh wait, what do I have? Because I always had that thing. I never tell people exactly what's going on in my poems, because I don't want all of me to be like given to them. So like when I was giving my audience and my listeners everything that I was going through at that moment in time, I felt like I didn't get to go through it yet. I feel like I was just going through it and not solving it. And my thing is like, how can I come on a podcast, go through these problems, but not give like a good outcome out of it? Because you could lead to more problems. I could probably be the reason why someone's like, oh, there's no result for this. I can't, it's like, if you think far ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you said something really important there, because I think sometimes that's the same thing in successes as well as failures. Because I think sometimes people will speak too soon on a success.
Oh yeah.
Like, oh, I'm about to start a podcast.
Right.
And then 2 weeks later, people are like, oh, what happened to your podcast? I got the equipment. I got the mic. You know, I got this set up. I'm about to drop this single. And sometimes people speak success before it actually has happened. And I'm a firm believer of affirmations and all those things.
Right.
And writing your goals down and write the vision, make a plan. I believe all that. But I still also believe we have to understand that there comes a point in time where you have to keep some things quiet, and then then it'll be revealed when it's revealed.
Right.
And then on the other side, with the failure piece, sharing with people a struggle while you're in the middle of it, sometimes then this could make you the person crying wolf.
Right. Yeah.
Like, and it's like, oh, what's happening? You need help. And then everybody tries to help you, and then it's like, no. I'm good, but you're drawing this attention, or you're requiring this attention.
Right. And I got a lot of that too. People was like, Becky, some things you don't need to post. And I feel like, I felt like that is true. Like, maybe I shouldn't have posted, right? But at the end of the day, it's like, it's one of those things. Like, if I didn't have posted, I wouldn't have people reach out and just come to me and approach me with like why I should keep going. Because at the end of the day, like, it's like one of those things, and it's going to get dark. It's like suicide, right? If you're going through the moment, right, and you don't ask for help or you don't post anything about it, no one ever knows. Wow. So then it leaves friends and family like, oh, I didn't know this so-and-so was going through this, right? But you see people post it all the time. Like, for example, when I was in high school, I used to watch this YouTuber. Everybody knew him as Freddie E. I don't know if you ever knew him. But he would be on YouTube. He like funny skits and whatever. And I guess he had a relationship with a celebrity. And he was tweeting some stuff, was like, just like some sad stuff. No one reached out to him. And then when he killed himself, like, everybody was like questioning, like, and blaming another person, you know? Yeah. And it's like, so if somebody's posting something, and maybe they don't have anybody to talk to, maybe they have friends that be like, Becky, you always going through the same thing, you know? But sometimes at that moment in time, it may be something really serious, you know? So like at that moment in my life, I felt like I was going to quit, like, cause I was like done with it. There's no point of it. And I, with that being said, I quit a lot of things too behind that, not just my podcast. Like, I stopped looking for jobs. I like settled for whatever I had. I didn't even care about money. Like, literally, I just let go of a lot of things behind that. So like, you know, people see that I was, you know, going through with my podcast. I posted that, but they don't see what else I was going through behind that. Like, I quit a lot of other things besides the podcast at that moment in time.
Gotcha. So what would you say to that person who's in a position and, like, they're reaching out or they're posting stuff on social media, on Instagram? And, you know, they're, like, I guess they're crying for help, but they might not be getting a response on Instagram. What would you say to that person?
I think, honestly, I'll just tell them that cope the way you want to cope. Don't worry about what people are going to say about you on social media, you know, because it's your social media. Now, if people reach out to you and ask if you're okay, just reply to them. Be like, yes, I'm okay. I'm just coping. This is the way I cope, you know, or because some people aren't as private, because you look at like some people don't have a big, strong circle like other people do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always tell people, like, I have a strong support team. My family, my cousins got me, my friends got me. So if I was ever going through anything, like, maybe they'll be the last person to ever hear, because my family will always like handle it first. Mm-hmm. You know, as for some people, they don't have that. You know, you especially if you move out from a different state coming to here, like, you don't have that. You don't have friends like that got you like that, you know.
No, that's real. That's real. And now we're gonna take a slight caveat, because you hit me up. You hit me up. You said you wanted to be on the podcast. This is National Poetry Month.
It is National Poetry Month.
What month is this? March.
April.
April. Lord, the time's just flying in 2019. So why are you so passionate about National Poetry Month? And then you have something coming up, don't you?
Yes.
Okay.
So the reason why I'm passionate about National Poetry Month, I feel as though other. I don't know how to explain it, but poetry is not looked upon as like the greatest thing, like rap or music, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like pop music, rap, you know. And some say poetry is rap, depending on who you're talking to.
I've heard that before.
So yeah. There are poets out here who speak our emotions, and sometimes those poets, like even the local poets, they get made fun of because they're speaking their emotions, especially guys, because guys, like, you know, it's like, they're writing heartbreak poems. Guys are writing about depression, And, like, you know, it's like a whole, like, sexist thing. Wow. Right? So I think as poets, like, I'm passionate because, like, I'm passionate about it because, in general, poetry is a way to express, right? So however you express yourself is however you express yourself. So if people who do music express themselves through music, for example, like Wale, he always sometimes write hurt songs, you know?
Oh, yeah. Wale, definitely.
So, like, if they express themselves through music, okay, so be it, right? Mm-hmm. And some people express them through painting, you know? So I think poets have a month because it's important that the fact that we express our emotions, I think it's not even just emotions. It's just like stuff that we try to be numb to. Like, we have to sometimes feel to experience it, to experience life. Because if you don't feel your own emotions, you kind of just go about life like whatever it is. And when it comes down to it, you don't know exactly how to feel when you're supposed to cry. Hmm. You know? And so... like, that's why my podcast, like, I focus around poets a lot. You know, every now and then I'll throw an entrepreneur in there, but I still focus on the poetry somehow. So for my event, Snap 3.0, or any of Snaps or whatever, I put these poets on the show. You mm-hmm. know, they talk about their story. So before my other episode, I had a poet talk about her being diabetic, you know, autoimmune disease, right? So you don't know about that person. They talk about it, and they have to cope somehow, you know, or you go through depression and you deal with it and you're like, oh, life sucks type of stuff. So Snap allows them to, these are like local poets too that people don't really know about. So mm-hmm. allows them to showcase their work. And if they have any products, sell their product. Because I think out here, sometimes it's hard to find the events where poets are welcome. You know, you have open mic, but sometimes when you have an open mic, you have people just doing music. You know, it's kind of weird to have, like, just music, and then random poet to kill the mood, depending on what they're talking about, you know? So you don't want to, like, ruin the mood. So, like, having a place for poets, that's why, like, it's important sometimes.
Yeah, I think a safe space is extremely needed, and I think you're definitely the solution to a huge problem. Mm-hmm. Because before, if a poet, I mean, I've heard of poet slams here and there, and then Heroes, I know Heroes does, like, right. a poetry. They do a poetry event every so often.
Right.
But other than that, I can't say I've heard many spaces where poetry is welcome. But I'm with you in the same boat that I think people need to cope how they need to cope. I think people need to express their feelings how they need to express it.
Right.
Like you talked about, Wale does music. We know Jay Will did the Matters of the Heart. Mm-hmm. I talked with him a couple weeks ago. but, you know, and without us having that way to cope, for like, even for me, like, speaking is my thing,
right?
And I'll get up there, and I've learned, just like you said, I've learned that being transparent is being truthful, but sometimes still, like, not giving everything, because sometimes there's certain people who don't need to hear certain things.
True.
So I've learned that, and I'm pulling back sometimes when I want to just pour. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the best.
At least you know when to stop pouring. I'd be pouring all the way.
I mean, it just all depends, though. I mean, but if that's how you, if you want to be the person who just shares your all with your listeners, there's going to be people who connect with you in a very real way because right. you're that vulnerable.
Right.
And then then you'll be surprised that people might start to reach out to you and say, if they don't already, I'm sure people already do now, but they're
right.
like, Becky, you really touched me with this yeah. message because you said this and I'm going through that right now. Or what do you have to say? Because you're in a space now with you having a platform and you having a podcast mm-hmm. to where you're the expert. You might not think you're the expert, but the more you continue to do it and the more you continue to talk about self-care, about mental health and poetry, you're going to be a staple. And every podcast further solidifies that level of mastery or expertise.
If oh, you wow. will. I didn't even think about that yeah, part.
I mean, but no, nah, but think about it, really. Because right. the people who we consider to be like experts, like one of the best podcasters, if I ask you who you think one of the best podcasters is, who would you say? I'm just curious to hear what you say on this one.
Honestly, I see him everywhere, like Joe Rogan.
Exactly, exactly.
Everywhere.
And why is Joe Rogan? Why do you think he's the expert podcaster?
I think he's just mastered the fact of marketing.
Yeah,
he's
a monster marketing.
I've heard his very first few episodes of how he started. Like, he literally started from the ground up.
Literally, I went back and I watched some of the first one, and I was like, what? Because they're in just a dark room, and the
right,
lighting
right.
is bad, the camera is bad. Yeah. And he was like, oh, what are we doing? Oh, I guess we're going to do a podcast. Hey, turn the camera on. Turn the mic on. Well, he didn't even have a mic. Yeah, right. He didn't have a mic. And then now you see him with, you know, the Shure microphones, and they're
oh,
in the studio.
Like, and I saw it's his crazy. Equipment list. They're so expensive.
It's ridiculous what he has in there. And he,
like, he doesn't even have like a regular DSLR. He has those regular camcorders, but they like, yeah,
it's next level. And he makes like 30,000 episodes.
And like, yeah, I literally, he drops like, two episodes. I see like in one.
He'll just drop them. He'll just, and every time at the top, because he's been doing it the longest. So right. He's been able to
gain that audience.
Gain the audience and just, you know, his guests that he brings on.
Right.
But man, enough about Joe Rogan. He gets enough promotion. So I want to transition to this segment we call Five Words. And I want you just to describe yourself in five words, Becky.
Okay. I'm ambitious, unorganized, I'm a hard worker, I'm an overthinker. But I think I'm an overachiever.
Nice, nice. I mean, I like with those.
Oh God!
And with you
ladies
being
about to get hit, y'all.
Hard. With you being hard working, I would definitely say you're ambitious just by the way that you connect with people.
Right.
I'm surprised you didn't go there, like sociable.
Oh yeah,
there.
Like a social butterfly. Yeah.
Because you really, even though naturally, are you an introvert?
I don't know what I am.
Okay. But because I'm just saying, like the way I see you connect with people at events. And like you, it seemed like you popped up out of nowhere, and then you know
a little happy Asian girl.
You knew everybody. Hey, you knew everybody like on the quote unquote scene, I guess. So
right.
But yeah, I think that's super dope, though. I mean, just your ambition. I definitely applaud your ambition because a live event is something that I've wanted to do, like right. A live podcasting event, but I have not done it yet.
You should. I still have to figure that out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna do one. I'm not gonna say I'm gonna do it this year, but coming soon. Coming soon. We're going to do a live event. All right, Becky. So you just described yourself in five words, like a true poet. So now, do you want to share a poetry piece?
Oh, I could, but I have to save it for Snap 3.0.
Well, no. I mean, you can share. You can share.
Oh, like an old one?
You can share whatever you want to share.
Okay, so I'm going to give you guys half of this, and I'm going to stop like halfway. I'm very good at stopping myself.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Do that. Exclusive. Speak Your Success exclusive. Let's get it.
So I write poetry. Mostly poems about my personal experience. You see, I learned to take conversations and morph them into these poems. It was just the other day I was told to find my voice. But today, I came whoa. Totally forgot. But, okay. The way I write poems, y'all, is like, you ever like take a movie and you write like a, what's it called? What's one?
What, the script?
No, what do you?
Act, a
when
scene?
You, when you write another movie about the same movie?
Like a sequel.
Sequel, yeah. So I write like poem sequels.
Mm.
So like every time I recite this poem, I took like pieces of this poem and put it into another poem. But if you want to hear the rest of it, you would have to go on like Unspoken Words podcast.
Yeah, where can they find you? Where can they find Unspoken Words podcast?
On SoundCloud, Spotify, and Apple iTunes. And it's probably just easier to go to my website, beckythepoet.com, where it's all there. So you don't have to go to all these different platforms.
Gotcha, legit. We're going to have all that information down in the show notes for you. But now I want to just...
God dang,
I want to just ask you, who would you say... Because now this is the Winner's Circle of the Week segment. And in Winner's Circle of the Week, those of you who might be listening for the first time, because you might be listeners of the Unspoken Word podcast, you might just be checking our podcast today. But now we're going to do the Winner's Circle of the Week. And this segment is where I give you... Miss Becky the Poet, the opportunity to shout out somebody that you feel is out here getting it. They don't have to be in the DFW. They can be wherever. But somebody that you're connected with and you like, this person is out here grinding. This person deserves some recognition. This person deserves somebody to give them a pat on the back because I think they've been putting in work, but nobody has given them the applause. So now, your Winner's Circle of the Week, Miss Becky.
I give my Winner's Circle of the Week to DJ GS, a.k.a. Gabe, a.k.a. Black Spades Media. He is the DJ for Dallas Black Canvas. He was a DJ for one of the Cosign Cyphers. Mm. He's literally the DJ behind a lot of events. And I feel like DJs in general don't get like the applaud because he brings the equipment. He picks the right vibe. Like I even had him at my Podiversary and he was perfect. Like you would think like you when you think about DJs, you think you're just going to play like trap music or like that dance music.
Yeah.
But at a poetry event, I was worried, low key.
Oh,
but
really?
He came with it.
You let him just play? Like, you let him just
do his thing? Yeah, whatever. I requested one song. It was a J. Cole Middle Child, but that was the only song at the time I liked. But it was just like he came with the vibes, really.
Wow.
So, like, and it's like one thing is like a DJ who comes with all the equipment saves you a lot of time and money. You don't have to buy the equipment or rent the equipment.
That's real.
So I give applause to Gabe, a.k.a. DJ GS. So he's pretty dope.
AKA Black Space Media.
AKA Black Space Media, pretty much. Wow.
Now, yeah, I mean, I've met Gabe before. He's a real cool dude, and you're right, though. Like, the DJ truly sets the vibe. Because mm-hmm. I remember when I used to be in a club, and then, you know, like, they would play Southside The Realest, and then the whole, everything would shift.
Right.
And then they'd put on a slow song, and then everybody would just leave. The dance floor would just get empty.
I mean, like, sometimes you have those DJs who don't know how to mix very well.
That's a real thing.
And they just go from, like, fist pumping to, like, some, like, Lil Jon to, like, some city. I don't know. But it doesn't make sense. It just be, like, slow, fast. And it's like, bro, how am I supposed to dance? What am I supposed to do?
That's too funny. But, and understanding that, though, just like we're talking about level of mastery. That's a DJ that understands.
Definitely.
Like that understands and takes the craft serious. That's a DJ that's mastered the craft, if you will. But yeah, I definitely give it up to Gabe. So now we're gonna have a little bit of fun.
Oh God.
And now this is a segment I like to call This or That. Oh, you can't see.
Okay,
so now I'm going to ask you, you're going to do like some little rapid fire action, and I'm going to ask you a question, and you say, so let's say, for example, I say Coke or Pepsi, and you...
Coke?
See, yeah, okay, you got it already. You're already expert.
Okay.
Yeah, you're already expert. Okay, so now we're going to go ahead and get into it. I'm just going to roll these off, and we're going to see how good you are.
Okay.
Beaches or mountains?
Beach.
Life of the party, please no party.
Life of the party.
Oh, okay. Work hard, play hard.
Play hard.
Night out, early bird.
Early bird.
Home cooking, ain't cooking.
Oh, home cooking.
Keep it easy, plan it out.
Keep it easy.
Chick-fil-A or Raising Cane's?
Chick-fil-A.
Everything has a place or everything all over the place?
Everything all over the place.
And that's it. See, that just like that. It's this or... That is pretty simple. We try to keep it easy here at Speak Your Success. Now we're at the time as you're winding out for the show. And now, Miss Becky, I just want to give you the opportunity just to leave a final thought with us, leave a final thought with the people. You know, somebody who, well, I want you just to leave a word for, let's just say this is an individual who's trying to figure it out,
mm-hmm.
right? They're in that space and they don't know what their special talent is, like yours is, you know, you have a way with words, poetry. And you focus on, you know, just mental health, those great things. And then somebody like me, we speak, whatever. But somebody who's trying to figure it out, what would you say to that person? Like, what would you say to that individual?
I would say take time to yourself. I know there's a lot of people out there that you want to do just like do the things just like they're doing. But take time to yourself to see if you can do the same thing they're doing, but in your own way. What I learned a couple of days ago is that whatever you're passionate about or whatever you're supposed to do, it's already in your DNA. So you have to take what you have in your DNA and just rock with it. So don't try to copy the next person. Just do what you know how to do and do it the best way you can.
There it is, from Becky the Poet. Hey, friends, just reminding you one more time, if you have not, we would encourage you, if you like the content, to just click that subscribe button. Or if you would like to, you know, live tweet us, use the hashtag SYS Podcast on Twitter. And we're going to have all of Becky's information and all of her contact stuff down in the show notes if you would like to, you know, get a ticket to her upcoming event, or if you'd like to just follow her on social media. But friends, this is TEDx speaker and best-selling author Jonathan Jones reminding you to speak your success, believe in your greatness, and continue to create the life and business of your dreams. Why would you want to live any other way?